Hello, everybody. My name is Luke Stamey with the Space Travel Podcast. I hope everyone's doing great this evening. I figured since today we had the scrub of the Blue Origin launch of the New Shepard rocket that maybe we do an episode on the New Shepard, discussing some details and stuff like that about the rocket and see what Blue Origin's been up to lately. I don't talk about Blue Origin a whole lot, other than in the aspect of them being a competitor to SpaceX and ULA and all them. But I do admire Blue Origin in all its controversy. I do admire them. They're going to build a beautiful launch vehicle once, you know, the new Glenn launches. It's going to be amazing. Let's jump into some of these things about the Blue Origin New Shepard rocket. The New Shepard rocket was named after Alan Shepard, the first American to go to space. Every time I read stuff about his first trip to space, I just look at the Mercury capsule and all that, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this dude here. I mean, he was really cramped inside there. I just think it's amazing. He's a true hero, and I have mad respect for him. The New Shepard is considered a reusable suborbital class rocket system. So the whole thing, essentially, is reusable, from what I'm gathering. I haven't really seen anything that they couldn't reuse. Both the booster and the capsule, you know, it's a two-stage rocket, essentially. The booster goes up. At the end of the booster's propellant, or close to it anyway, it releases the capsule, which floats up in past the Kármán line. Here are the uses for this rocket. To take research payloads and astronauts to the Kármán line, which is like that border between Earth's atmosphere and space. It's about 100 kilometers up, or about 62.14 miles. This is a debated distance. It, you know, some people say it's higher, some people say it's lower. I always try to throw just the range out there and let people go delve into it, decide for themselves. The flight duration of the New Shepard rocket, I think they said, is going to be approximately 11 minutes. I believe that one that we just saw, well, it's been a while ago now, but I think it was about 11 minutes, 10 minutes, something like that. The aero surfaces on the side of the New Shepard rocket, if you look very closely at the rocket, you'll notice that it does seem like it has a lot more aero surfaces than a normal rocket, and that's because it's the way it flies is different than most rockets. So I think it's smart to have these aero surfaces. There's a ring atop the rocket. If you look close up there, you'll see what I'm talking about. It's a ring. It's got some openings on the bottom. You can see it when you look at it. But they passively move the center of pressure to control the descent of the rocket. I think that's pretty cool and very creative. It also has the four wedge shaped. They can deploy, and this enhances the aerodynamic abilities of the vehicle. It also has eight large air brakes that come out on descent, pretty late on descent, actually. And when they deploy, they reduce the speed of the craft by half. I think that's amazing. Just using nothing more than air alone, you can take a rocket that is traveling at magnificent speeds, and you can slow it down so quickly using nothing but the friction of air on the aero surfaces. That's cool. So those are them. You'll see it tomorrow whenever you see the flight. I got my fingers crossed for good weather and all the systems and everything work good. I'd like to see her fly. Speaking of flying, let's talk about the rocket engines that are going on this rocket. The BE-3PM rocket engine that has 489 kilonewtons, about 110,000 foot-pounds of thrust, and designed to restart to slow the booster to 8 kilometers an hour or 5 miles an hour for landing. The aft fins, they pivot also as an aerodynamic surface to steer back to the landing pad. So, you know, a little bit different of, you know, flight characteristics for this rocket. The hydraulic actuators that are inside of those aft fins, they have enough force to operate the fins in air speeds of up to Mach 4. I thought that was very impressive. That's very cool. I mean, Mach 4, dude, that is fast. I mean, imagine the force that's on those surfaces as they're going that fast. It's immense, I'm sure. There is a lot of windows on this craft, considering that it's being used to ferry passengers to space, you know, get that Overwatch effect that I spoke about on yesterday's episode, you know, and get to see the Earth in its entirety, and a little bit of weightlessness as well. The interior is actually rather large at 530 cubic foot, or about 15 cubic meters or so. So, I mean, it's a spacious interior. They have some pictures. If you go online, you can, you know, especially on Blue Origin's website, you can see some pictures from inside the capsule that were probably either taken whenever it launched last or were edited to look like they were. It only needs, and I thought this was wild, it only needs 26 people sitting in the control room to fly this rocket. I mean, very low staff to operate this vehicle. I think that's pretty cool, you know? It's cool to know that few people can operate things this complex and awesome. Because, I mean, we have come a long way in technology these days. It absolutely blows me away. It seems like, I mean, I'm not that old. You know, I'm 30, so things have changed a lot since I was a kid. I'm just putting it that way. You know, when I was a kid, from my own perspective, it was very primitive. You know, we finally got one of those briefcase phones back when they first came out, had the big magnetic thing that you poof on the top of the car. But anyway, these windows that are inside are made of a multi-layered fractured tough transparencies and transmit 92% of light, just like glass. I think that's awesome. But I also hope, and I don't know why this comes up in my head, that this glass doesn't turn out to resemble the glass that was in the Cybertruck demonstration not too long ago, because we all saw how that turned out. And that's pretty much all I have on the new Shepard. I did take a few notes here on the new Glenn just to give you guys a peek forward. We'll probably do an entire episode on this rocket. It's supposed to be really awesome and support some really cool capabilities. I'll tell you a few of them now, and then we'll get deeper into them in another episode. The new Glenn rocket is an orbital reusable launch vehicle. It's named after none other than John Glenn. It's reusable first stage. They say, or they want, to fly up to 25 times. Now, Blue Origin's been working on this rocket mostly in secret for a good while now, so we'll see. I'm curious, to say the least. This rocket has a 7-meter fairing, so it can, you know, it can hold some lofty, or some big payloads, you know, and it can get them up to space. And here's the thing I thought was very interesting. It can launch at 95% of weather conditions. Like, I think that's crazy. That's a big leap forward, if I'm understanding that correctly. That'll be very cool to see, you know. We won't get a lot of scrubs and all that, so it'll be very cool. So the first stage will launch, and it will land on a ship. This ship, to me, looks like a manned ship, so I wouldn't call it a drone ship, but it is rather large. And so pretty much follow the same kind of trajectory that Falcon 9's first stage follows, you know. Go straight up during flight, except for when, you know, it pitches over and does a big arc. And then the booster, after separation, you know, kind of flips back with the bottom end facing forward, and then fires its boosters for a reentry, slows down through the atmosphere, steers with its fins, and then lands on the drone ship. Well, the new Glenn rocket is going to have a similar flight characteristics to the Falcon 9. We'll see. I'm excited to see the ship, see what they're landing on it. It's going to be very cool to see. And I've never really heard of Blue Origin having a money issue as far as developing their technologies and all that, which is, to me, you know, I have mixed thoughts about that. On one hand, I'm thinking, that's fantastic. You know, they're going to be able to innovate, get humans out into space faster, and all that. But at the same time, you know, I mean, we're all human. When money's involved, things get crazy. So hopefully we see wonderful intentions. I have mad respect for the people at Blue Origin, so I know they'll do the right thing. But the BE-4 engines, it's funny because the Vulcan rocket, I believe, is going to be firing the BE-4 engines as well. They have 17,100 kilonewtons of thrust. And to me, I mean, judging by, you know, all the other specs that we'll get into another time, it's going to be as big as the Saturn V. I mean, it's going to be a big rocket. So, hey, I think that'll be great. I'm ready to see it fly. I'm excited. But you know me, I'm excited about all things space, all companies building all spacecrafts, as long as we're progressing forward and we're learning new things. I mean, come on, just not too long ago, they found phosgene in the atmosphere of, I lost my train of thought, Venus. And, you know, there's been this big talk about whether there's life there or not. And to me, I'm not really worried about whether there is life there. Like, that would be astonishing, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, we're going to figure out a new way that phosgene is formed, which is going to progress the human race further. So I'm very interested to see what the results of our upcoming flybys, it seems, and return missions to tell us more about that. I'm not going to get my hopes up for life, but at the same time, I think we're going to learn something, and that's a good thing. Because, as I said in the description of the last episode, we do not inherit the Earth from our ancestors. We borrow it from our children. And I think that's an important thing for everybody to remember when they're making decisions in their day-to-day life, especially if you're one that has very impactful decisions. So, well, guys, that's all I have for this evening. I'm still awaiting the return of my beautiful wife. I miss her terribly, but she will be back in a week, and we'll get back to our regular conversations. I hope everyone's doing well and safe. I appreciate you all. If you want to support the podcast, go check out our Patreon page. You can support there. I think there's a few different tiers to choose from. Or you can go to my anchor page. I've got a button right on the homepage that you can click and support the podcast that way as well. Other than that, share on Twitter, you know, get the word out. We always appreciate that. I mean, that might be some of the most important stuff right there. I appreciate you all once again. I hope everyone has a good night. This is Luke Stamey with the Space Travel Podcast, signing off.